Oh, thank you. We're ready to get started again. Several pieces of information were circulated to the whole group over the course of time between the last meeting and this meeting of information that we had asked for, including how much it would cost if we gave a 1%, 2%, et cetera, increase, what some of the indexes that we talked about were. There was a... the projected budget impact. There was a per diem and expense breakdown. I don't know if you want to review these, if people have looked at these, if you want to discuss them. I'm kind of looking for a sense of what this group...
This is Bill Donahue. I'm back.
Yes, okay. I'm trying to get a sense of what you would like to review, if you've already reviewed it, and where we should start this discussion. As I said before, we took the break. The intent is to try to get a handle on if, you know, we have made some decisions, if we can make some decisions by the end, to give an outline to the staff so that they can start working on a report for us. So I'm opening this up for suggestions as to where you would like to go right now.
I've looked through the information.
Yeah, I have to. And it's also in all your folders. So I don't know if people have particular questions. Go ahead.
This is Greg Fox. I did have a question. It was kind of related to the comment that Gloria made before the break.
Okay.
And that is, did the legislature intentionally not fund these salaries, or was it caught up in the disagreements with the governor about a variety of issues tied to budget bills?
I'll let Greg answer that.
Because it might make a slight difference to me.
This is Greg Hibbinger. The legislature intentionally did not increase its appropriation for the current biennium to reflect.
But
they didn't make any changes, much less
or for everything at the legislature.
They did not make any changes to the legislature's appropriation.
Okay, thanks.
This is Tom Stinson. I don't think the legislature's behavior was any different than the way that executive branch agency salaries are set. Typically, what happens is that the departments, existing agencies, have to absorb the salary increase in the amount that they get. They're not given a specific salary amount. And the reason for that, I've been told, is that the salaries are bargained, and if you say we're going to give you 2% for inflation or something like that, that just becomes a lower floor for the bargaining, and so they want to be bargaining with a wider span.
But is your point then that previous in other situations where raises have or salaries have been set, that they have not appropriated it?
For executive branch agencies, yes.
So that has happened before?
Yes. It's not,
is that the practice, or has that happened before?
No, that's been my experience. Is that's been the practice, okay, that you don't put in a specific salary amount as part of the appropriation.
Okay, Greg wants to add something to that, and then Joe's got the floor.
This is Greg Gibbons. You just add on to what Tom is saying. The state's biennium, as you know, starts this July 1st. State employee unions are starting the process of bargaining now. The agency budgets are already being set. They'll be set by the end of May. The contract negotiations will go on this spring and during the summer. And so because the budgets are already set, whatever those labor contracts provide have to be absorbed within those existing appropriations. 2 years from now, agencies will submit new budgets and they'll reflect those higher compensation costs. So it picks up on the tail, not at the front end. What's going on, as I understand the intent here for the salary council was for us to make the determination on salaries by March 31st so that the legislature could incorporate that into their appropriations immediately. But the leadership in the 2 years ago chose not to do that, to increase the appropriations of the House and Senate to pay for the salary increases that were prescribed here.
They had the chance, but
no answer.
Yes.
Go ahead and finish your follow-up question. Did you answer?
Yeah, this is Chaz McRoy. So what I hear you saying, Greg, is they had the chance to put it in there and
chose not to.
Exactly.
Joseph Boyle. I think that what we have to do is go back to our enabling constitution, and our enabling legislation. First of all, we under the Constitution are not subject to what the legislature did. I think even when these three people, who I agreed with 95% of what they said, they also pointed out that, you know, go slow. To me, that was sort of a political thing. What I wanted to hear is, did we give a fair and reasonable number or not? I think generally we have. The other question is, what's a fair and reasonable process to go through to decide what's appropriate? And based upon what you say, Mr. McElroy, again, this is Joseph Boyle, in case I forgot to give my name. I think we have to go through all the criteria, the MAPE increase, the ASME increase, all the factors that we weigh, and then we pick a fair and reasonable increase. I believe it should be an increase under those circumstances. Our goal is to follow the Constitution, which says we must prescribe, this is exactly the words because I always do it for a judge and I always want to be careful, must prescribe salaries by March 31st of each odd number year, taking into account any other legislative compensation provided to legislators. As I point out, that doesn't mean being critical. A per diem that exists in over 40 states, at least that's the last records we got, and we had all these explanations. I just stay out of per diem because that's a legislative function, because we have a constitutional responsibility. And the statute, 115A.0825, says when we do this, we also should look at the most recent budget forecast. That doesn't mean that some inaction by the legislature vis-a-vis the executive branch is anything we should be paying attention to. The only question is, we got to pick out the fair and just salary, because that's what we're supposed to do. So when people are running for the legislature, that whether they're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever, that they go for the job. We represent the people, nobody else.
Okay.
Anyway, that's my thought.
Sherry, you had your hand up.
Well, I guess for me, the question is, do we feel right now that the 45, that that's the appropriate base, or are we going to adjust the base, or are we doing a cost of living? So that's sort of my starting point question. What are we looking at?
Gloria.
So I just want to be clear. The budget forecast that we just heard does not include the increase that we did in 17, because it wasn't part of the appropriations that were considered and forecast forward.
That's correct.
So we made an approximate, on the whole, $2.7 million increase that was not included in the budget forecast. That we, so for the raise that we gave from 31.2 to 45,000, that over 201 legislators adds up to over $2.7 million, that's not included right now in the budget forecast. But is the plan right now, so the budget, I haven't looked at the budget proposals, but is the budget proposal doesn't include the absorption of that cost so that it's reflected in future budgets? This question's from Greg. Yeah.
This is Greg Gibbinger. So the only budget that's on the table at the moment is the governor's recommendation for the entire biennial budget for all of state government. That did not include an increased appropriation to pay for legislators' salary increases. The House and Senate are preparing their own budget bills now, and it'll be up to them to decide if they will propose to increase the appropriations to the House and Senate to pay for the increases from 2 years ago and for whatever might get determined here.
So if I understand you correctly, the governor's does not include what they are currently making because it's based on the previous one.
Yes.
So it's not even in the governor's.
Okay, and so in addition to that, we heard about a budget forecast that if inflation is considered in, we don't actually have a surplus of any. There's no balance left over. So I just want to be clear about those 2 points.
That's what Britta said.
Okay. Dave Metzen, I think whatever budget comes out of is not our issue. Our issue is the salary issue. And I think the only thing that would keep me, I'm of the school of thought that we increase, now, part of you know the law better than I do, I think we were supposed to take into consideration the existing budget. That's the only thing that would deter
forecast.
Me from whatever the percent we pick out. But how, what bucket it comes out of isn't our issue.
So sorry to just jump in here, but I agree, and Joe, I do appreciate that you read, you know, that you remind us of what it is, and the budget is a consideration, and regardless of where it comes out of, it's not, it's, I don't care which budget bucket it ultimately comes from, it's certainly not reflected in the budget, and the budget projections, and the budget projections, as we are supposed to consider them, don't reflect that we are growing in a way that, for me, would support an increase.
Go, Dave, let me just, I agree with you. And so that factor, that $2.5 million that never got in there, has to be in our thinking relative to the budget balance going forward. So I think it is in the mix, but I just don't want it separated out as being an issue that it's, that it's not, it wasn't funded properly. That's their issue.
This is Bill Donning. Can I
go ahead,
make
Bill.
A comment? Okay. My impression is we're supposed to look at the forecast, not the budget.
That's what Gloria's been talking about.
Well, no. She was talking about budgets. And I think that the forecast under law shows a $1 billion surplus right now, in large part because the legislature, by statute, doesn't allow us to take inflation into account. And so I think if that's the forecast we're supposed to look at, that doesn't mean, I agree with Dave that we should consider that, but that wouldn't deter me from giving a small increase on the amount that we gave last year. And that's
Yeah, this is Randy, but shouldn't we be looking at the revenue increase or decrease versus the surplus?
And just to correct, I believe, Bill, what Gloria was saying was not the overall $1 billion surplus, but in the actual biennial budget, which did not take into account inflation. If it took into account inflation, it's basically neutral. It doesn't have an excess in it. And Gloria's point was, since we're supposed to take into the budget forecast, and it doesn't even include the monies that we have already, that they've already taken the last 2 years, that is a consideration
right.
as to whether or not we increase it. Is that a clear?
I get that. My point was that I believe either the statute or the Constitution requires us to take into account the forecast.
Right, and that's what Gloria was doing.
That's fine, but Joe could look at that because he's the who looks at those things more often than I do.
Yeah.
But I think that's what we're supposed to look at. I just don't think that what they decide to do about inflation and increases ought to deter us when the actual forecast shows a $1 billion surplus. So, and I, you know, the fact that they decided not to put the money into their own budgets for political purposes doesn't really affect me at all. I think we should, you know, as I said in my little email I sent out to you all, I think a small increase is really important for us to do. And I think it's important because otherwise we'll be in the same trap 10 years from now, as Dave pointed out earlier. And we'll end up with being, you know, too parsimonious. And I think we need really good people in the legislature. And I think that one of the ways to attract them is to give them a little more money. And I don't think that 45 plus 2% is a ton of money. I don't think that'll change things at least. It'll change things incrementally is all it'll do. So That's the point I would make.
Okay,
and
Joe?
In fact, it, would it help if we had a motion to, I mean, to increase the salary by 2%? I mean, if so, I could make that motion.
Okay, I will. There is a motion on the table then to increase it 2%. Now, do realize that when we set it, we have to set a salary. We can't say we're increasing it 2%. We'd have to say we are raising their salaries to whatever.
I respectfully request, first of all, we never want to talk about a letter that maybe shouldn't have gone out. We never just talk about what your position is today.
My position today is exactly what I said email. I don't believe the email violated the open meeting law.
Irrelevant at this point.
Let Joe speak.
Yeah, so let's just talk about our position today. Now, my position today is I'd like to have a discussion that Sherry has as to whether our base number, I want to give an outline. I want to have a discussion as to whether our base number is the right number, so we've analyzed what we've done. Number two, I want to look at all the factors that we should look at, and I sort of disagree with the chair with that she may be right because I disagree, but the fact is that's what we have votes for, and we lay out all the factors that we're analyzing, including the factor you're saying. And by you, I mean Gloria Meyer. I apologize for pointing, but I'm Irish and I have 9 kids. But the third thing is that we have to go through all these factors, and then I would think your motion may be totally legitimate because in the end you just got to decide, you know, you analyze all this stuff and you say this is reasonable. That's sort of what we did on that base salary, and by Jove, we pinned the tail on the donkey. Now, some legislators are saying, well, don't do it. I don't believe in don't do it. Our job is only to do what's reasonable, only to do what is our contract under the Constitution with the voters, nobody else. Nobody gets to veto it. The governor, the legislature, the only question, to thine own hearts be true on whether or not we pick the reasonable package and then what a reasonable amount is under those circumstances with the right criteria. I won't repeat myself, but I do think we should have this little outline to get us out of here.
Hi, this is Greg Fox.
It might take 3 meetings.
Go ahead, whoever's on the phone is speaking.
This is Greg Fox. Somebody asked earlier if we thought that the baseline that we set last year in salary was an appropriate number. I want to say, in my opinion, it is. And I would use that as the baseline without having to worry about anything but a percentage increase.
Ken, what was here? I agree with that. I think we're at the right base. I don't think we need to change that. And that they are entitled to a small increase, whatever that should be.
Hi, Chaz McElroy. I agree. I'm very comfortable with the base at $45,000. I'm on the fence in terms of an increase. I think the per diem is quasi-compensation, which is part of our responsibility to consider. The fact that retirement is paid off that per diem, and it's kind of a self-determined salary based on it. My understanding of the per diem is all other expenses are reimbursable other than meals. So the per diem is really a meal. I think the term per diem is a bit misleading to the public. I think the legislators not appropriating the increase, as Greg laid out, this was set up to be completed by March 31st, so they could appropriate it, include it in the budget, is something that I would hope our report might comment on. And I think the differences between the per diem in the Senate and the House is something that we should point out. So I think part of our responsibility, and we got this from the Attorney General's office last time, was to determine the salary, but it's also within our purview to comment on the per diem. And I think there's news reports on the per diem. So I'm on the fence in terms of an increase. It's intriguing to me to maybe highlight these other things with no increase and highlight that to the legislator, clean up some of the things in your own house so that the salary is a little more clear going forward.
I just move that we discuss the existing salary and make a decision on that and then go on to the other subject matter, because I think it's important, and then we can disagree or disagree on per diem and specifically per diem, but let's go over whether or not it was a fair and reasonable basis, because I think we should give that as a conclusion, why we believe so for future committees in that, that we analyzed it, that we didn't hear public comment that was contrary, stuff like that. So I'd like to change the agenda. I'll take a two-thirds vote, but I'd like to move it so we just discuss the salary at this time, then go on to the other factors.
Well, I'm not, I believe everyone's commenting, and then we can go on to what exactly we will do as far as report goes. Right now, I think it's an open session as people making their comments as to, you know, where they're at or where they're going.
I just want to say from a procedural standpoint, I think we still have a motion that...
There is a motion that was not seconded about increasing it 2%. That motion is on the table, has not been seconded.
Right, and so can we determine whether that should be set aside?
Since it wasn't seconded,
this is Bill.
He can withdraw.
Okay.
Well, this is Bill. How about if I amend my motion so that it more fits with what we have to do? And so my motion is to increase the salary to $45,000 to $900 to $45,900. And that is 2%. But that actually fits with what I think Deborah pointed out, is we have to actually say what the number is.
That's correct.
Motion is to increase the salary of legislators to $45,900.
This is Dave Metzen. I'll second that because I want to vote against it later, because I'm not against what you're saying. The timing isn't right for me. I think we need further discussion of some of the things Joe's been talking about, and then at the end get specific about voting on the actual salary. So I'll second that with the understanding I'm going to vote against my second.
You can vote any way you want. But there is a motion on the floor and seconded, so we do have to take a roll call. So, Sally?
Discussion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sherry, I apologize.
Well, I too would not be in favor of voting on that at this time, because I do feel that we have to have the due diligence of the conversation.
All right. So you would like it tabled for the moment?
Well, or vote it down. Because when you table, that's a little bit more.
Madam Chair, this is Marcia Vandenberg. Would you be willing to withdraw your motion at this point, so that we could have a discussion without the motion on the table and then move forward?
Yeah, how about if we do this? This is Bill. I'm willing to either withdraw it or defer it or whatever you would like to do. I'm more than happy to have the discussion first and then talk about what the actual increase or decrease or whatever should be.
Joe Boyle, I respectfully request that you in the second withdraw it so we can discuss the factors and plug all that stuff in so it'd be part of it. Then I think Mr. Metzen, whether the number be 2 or 2.2, and other people would all vote for it after we have all the stuff in the record.
Okay.
That has to be in the record.
Then I withdraw it.
All right. So,
I withdraw.
So the motion has been withdrawn.
No, the seconder withdraws it too.
All right.
Thank you.
The motion's withdrawn. And it seems like the discussion now is about the salary and the factors that go into it. Now, the only factors that we have to consider are the budget forecast, and that's basically the only forecast, the only thing statutory that we have to consider. And then we have a lot of other information that was requested, including indexes, if we choose to go there as far as an increase goes, and including how much it would cost the state, which is above and beyond the $2.7 million that it cost the state last time, which is not reflected in the budget forecast. Are there other factors that I am forgetting?
Madam Chair, may I interject? The statute is account any other legislative compensation provided to the legislatures and the most recent budget forecast.
Okay.
Categories.
And the per diem and everything is the other?
Other.
Okay. Okay, so, and the other other compensation, which I believe things have not changed in the retirement and health insurance and whatever very much, so the conversation at the last meeting at least was per diem seemed to be the only one that was different. Not that we can't discuss all of them, but that was the one that was on the table as far as this group is concerned. So I will now open it back up for discussion on the on the salary and the factors.
Joseph Boyle, I'd just like to say that I think that what we did was an excellent job considering how many years, 17 or so, that it had been ignored, and we put it at what the right number is. I think I was not confronted by anybody who thought that that was a bad number. I was had legislators come up to me, and actually they were with other of the different party, and they all said that they thought that the committee did a great job, and it was nice that somebody addressed the issue and could get away with addressing it on the right factors. And although it always could be better, the fact is that there was a discussion by the members here that there is more diversity than there was. And whether there's diversity that I might personally prefer, the fact is, the important thing is that it's there for everybody. And the voters decide, and that's fine, but at least the wage is the right wage within a certain amount that we're close on.
This is Dave Metzen. I think we've been kind of talking about, are we comfortable with what we did? Instead of trying to have everyone, is there anyone uncomfortable with the move we made last time, or feels that the $45 or $45,000 is not the right number? Now would be the time to speak up. If not, I'm assuming that we're all comfortable with what we did 2 years ago.
Sherry?
Well, I'm comfortable with the numbers. I'm one of the people who was very concerned about increasing the diversity, and both culturally and age-wise. And when I looked at the figures, we know that the cultural diversity has tremendously improved by about 20%. But we still have an age gap. The majority, over 50%, both in the House and the Senate, are over 40. And so we still have an age gap, and I just want to raise that we need to keep that in mind and looking at how do we get, as some have said before, the bright and talented young people in this state to pursue this. And, you know, someone earlier said something about a friend who had $100,000 in school debt. Well, if you have $100,000 in school debt, you're not going to become a state legislator with this salary. So, but I think that we did establish a good base. It clearly is a good base for the people over 40. Most of them actually are over 50. But it still may not be adequate for our younger potential legislators.
Other comments on being content with at where we're at with the 45,000?
Yes. Good morning, it's Patty. So, Sherry, based on your comments, if we were to do a $900 increase, do we think that would really make a difference in attracting a wider variety of candidates? I guess I worry that a slight increase, you know, we really couldn't do enough to raise that salary that might entice a younger candidate. Thoughts on that?
But I think you've raised a good point. I think that a $900 increase is an adequate increase on that base salary, but I don't know that that's what's going to trigger attracting younger people. And that's something that we may not be able to resolve now, but I just want it in the record that we're thinking about that and acknowledge that that's an issue.
Other comments and questions?
Madam Chair,
this is Greg Fox.
Sorry.
I actually think what changes the age of the legislature, yeah, the number one factor is senior members of the legislature retiring. And that will happen over time, but right now we've got a very large senior group.
Well, yeah, they don't leave till they're 70. That's why you have people in 24 years.
So you're saying the opportunity of new candidates.
Madam Chair, as to the point, are we comfortable with the base? As I said before, I'm comfortable with the base. But there are some parts of the per diem that bother me. And a thought which I wouldn't support, but I'm not sure I had, is should the base be different than the Senate and the House? They feel their per diem is different. It's quasi-compensation. The thought I had is, do we want to even it out?
Madam Chair, we understand that we can set one salary for both houses.
That's what I thought. I was looking at Angela.
The Constitution uses the singular salary in one place and salaries. At the end of the provision in the statute says salaries. So it is a bit of a gray area.
My point's made.
All right, so it seems that the consensus is 45,000 is everyone's comfort level of what we've done. So the conversation then is taking into account the other factors, compensation, the budget forecast, whatever, let's have a discussion on what we would like to do as far as raising or keeping the salary where it is. So I'm opening up the conversation to that. There have been some comments made that 2%, a lot of the factors that were provided to us as far as indexes and whatever show that state employees have received 2 or 2.25%. Social Security's gone up 2 and 2.8%. Private sector's gone up 2.6 and 3%. These are in the 2 years just passed. For the original 2 years that we've prescribed salaries. There's some county commissioner salary and legislative salaries. The bottom line is a lot of these are in that 2 to 3% range as far as what other indexes and state employees have received, if that's pertinent to the conversation.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move, I would have preferred somebody else do it, but that the base salary that we set last year has been reviewed and based upon the budget forecast has set forth in the charts and based upon public comment that we have received both from the legislators that we believe that was a reasonable and fair figure. Just that number, and then go on to the next issue.
I'll second that. Is that a motion?
Yeah, that's a motion.
I'll second that.
This is Tom Stinson. Can I amend it?
I'd be glad to listen to a friendly amendment.
To say that it's appropriate for the 2018-2019 biennium.
Yes, sir.
So that we leave ourselves room to raise it for 2020-2021.
Yeah, you're making a calendar correct. I accept that.
I have a comment. This sounds to me like we're patting ourselves on the back.
No, it doesn't.
No. That's my comment. I mean,
legally, if somebody looks at this, we have to make a decision that we did our job as to the base salary and we listen, I think. And then we go on to the next factor, which is just as important. But we have to show that we did our job.
We did our job by meeting, reporting, et cetera. Like I said, I'm not... that's just my comment. That's my first reaction to this, is that it just sounds like we're patting ourselves on the back for doing a good job 2 years ago.
I would take an opposite. I think that we're doing the work we were assigned to do, and that's to revisit where we're at and to make sure we could have found out because of whatever that we made it too high. And we could have come back and said lower this year. So I think it's exactly what we ought to be doing, what the public expects us to do, is to review what we've done, to reaffirm with us right. I don't look at it as a pat on the back. I look at it as doing our job to revisit our decision we made. And so,
yeah, and there's a lot of factors that we've gone through that makes me feel comfortable and everybody else, I think. Nobody here is criticizing it, so I think we have to say it in the positive. Get over with, let's go on to the next issue. That'll be a little more controversial.
There's a motion on the table. Is there any more comments and questions?
I'd like to make sure that the seconder...
He accepted, but
I did the second, Deborah. Okay. And that I want to make sure that I'm in agreement with changing it as Tom proposed.
More comments and questions with the motion on the floor.
Well, you're asking Tom the question to explain a little further. Is that what you're doing by yourself?
No, I was just reaffirming. You said it was
it's correct.
It was a calendar correction that he put in there, and I think that's very appropriate.
And he just corrected me that I hadn't gotten the second to the corrected amendment, or the corrected motion, excuse me. Okay, so the motion on the floor has been seconded. And is there any more comment or question?
Could you read the motion?
The motion is for this.
I think Mr. Stinson could read it better than me.
Tom?
I didn't write it down.
Okay. My understanding is, and please correct me if I'm wrong, the motion on the floor is for us to reaffirm that the $45,000 salary from the 2017 salary council is supported by everyone in this group for the 2018-2019 budget years.
As being fair and reasonable pursuant to the constitutional and the statutory requirements.
Does everyone understand it now?
Clean it up, Greg.
I expect it to be cleaned up so we can vote on it. Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, so this is a draft, so we vote on it at our next meeting?
Yes.
As well? Okay.
Both times.
I'm good then.
Well, it's a motion on the floor. We need to vote on it.
We dislike the minutes.
So, is everyone comfortable with it? The understanding is so that we can take a vote.
I'm Ken Wells here. I'm comfortable with doing that. And as you all know, I'm the only one that voted no last year. My high was 40,000. But I accept the fact that I was voted down, and I accept the $45,000, and I think we should move on from there.
Okay. All right, Sally will take the roll.
Chair Olson.
Yes.
Joseph Boyle.
Yes.
Diana Rosen. Bill Donahue.
Yes.
Greg Fox.
Yes.
Patty Hannon.
Yes.
James Joy. He had to step off. Charles McElroy.
Yes.
Dave Metzen?
Yes.
Gloria Myrie?
Yes.
Sherry Pugh?
Yes.
Tom Stinson?
Yes.
Randy Twistle?
Yes.
Marsha Vandenberg?
Yes.
Ken Wilmus?
Yes.
Laura Whitty?
Yes.
So everyone still on the chance. All right, the motion carries.
We should have Sally say the vote out loud.
There were 14 yeses and 2 absent.
So now we will move on to the conversation of increase, if we'd like to do an increase, what people's thoughts are, comments are. And I've just gone over this, and I don't know if there are other areas that people want to look at from the standpoint of, there is we do have a chart that indicates that if we gave a 2%, I'm just pulling that out of this because that's what has mostly been mentioned today, would cost an additional $208,505. A 3% would cost an additional $312,758.
The cost, Madam Chair, this is Greg, the cost that you were outlining, the 2%, for example, the $138,000 would be the cost to the House. The Senate would be half that at $69,000 for a total cost of $208,000.
No, I was reading these figures.
I'm sorry, then.
This is Tom Stinson. I'm concerned that we're doing a two-year, making a two-year decision, and I don't know whether the 2% is 2% for 1 year or 2% for year one and an additional 2% for year two.
All right. This is for the first year.
We can, Madam Chair, this is Greg Gibbons. We can only make one adjustment.
Okay, I'm confused now. Tom, is your question whether this $208,000 is the total cost for the biennial?
Yes.
And members, the council makes a salary determination that's effective July 1st of 2019, and that will be in effect until it's changed by a future council.
But the question is this for both years or for one year salary?
One year.
So it's double.
This increases the salary from $45,000 to $45,900 July 1st, 2019.
Right.
The question is, what's the total impact during the next biennium, dollar-wise?
Is the $208,000 for what, 1 year's worth of salary or 2 years' worth of salary?
Oh, that's for both years.
Thank you. We were just talking.
We
were talking cross purposes, exactly. No, that's what I knew we were. I just didn't ask it right. Okay. So, Tom, the answer is the $208,505 would be the total cost for the biennium.
Okay. Most.
We think. Wait a minute.
No, I'm wrong. This is the what each year will cost this much.
Okay, that was the clarification. Okay, so the cost would be almost $417,000 if a 2 year increase for the total for the 2 years.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for the clarification. We got that all straight. So, open for discussion. Wow, we got quiet.
I would like, excuse Dave Metzen, just for sake of discussion, just looking at these numbers here, I wish I were better at math, but what if it was a 1.5 increase? Is that on the sheet here?
Well, the 1% increase is 104, and the 2% is 208, so if you take 54, it's 158,000. Each year.
Yeah, so that
1.5 would be $45,675.
This is Bill again. I thought Tom Stinson was making the point that we make a one-time increase in the salary, and it holds for the biennium. We don't come back next year and decide to give them more. And I think my impression of Tom's concern was that he was concerned that with respect to all state employees and Social Security and all of the indexes we've looked at, that those increases are each year. So we're really making a two-year determination. So if we do 2%, state employees will get 4% or 4.5% during that same period. So we're actually being on the parsimonious side by doing 2%. I mean, Tom, do I have that right?
Yeah, this is Tom Stinson. Yes, you're right. I was concerned that the numbers that were being put out I didn't know whether they were 1 year or 2 year numbers. And on top of that, when you're comparing it against Social Security, you say, Social Security gets a 2%, so we're giving them about the same as Social Security in terms of cost of living adjustment. That's not true, that at the end of the 2 years, the Social Security be roughly 4% higher and salaries would only be 2% higher.
Right.
Joseph Boyle, just for the record, I agree with Mr. Donahue that it should be a higher number than 2%. For both years, and that number has to be one number in accordance with our law and constitution. So, you know, I just would help. I looked up parsimonious, but I think that's the right word. I'm not objecting to what Mr. Metzen has said on everything, but I do think that we got to be reasonable. And the other thing is that there's no real basis for us to can't be parsimonious in this particular atmosphere with all these various numbers in front of us, including like the AFSCME increase, the MAPE increase, the Social Security increase, and all these other factors. There's no reason why we'd be low. And then that sets a bad tone for future analysis by future. I'm more concerned about the having a sort of a right number as best we can, just like we did before, which turned out to be good, even though you were probably right, but Mr. Wilmers, but the fact is that at least we've survived it. And I want to survive this number with a procedural process that people in the future can analyze and then decide what they want.
Go ahead, Gloria.
Hi,
sorry.
This is Gloria. I think it's an apples to oranges comparison to look at bargain labor contracts as opposed to our objective here, and that we are tasked with looking at other compensation and the budget forecast and making our determination. We all agree that what we did the last time was appropriate. And given the budget, the way it is, the budget forecast the way it is now, I don't agree that it is appropriate to increase the salaries by a percentage now. I think that it was a very large jump that we made the last time. That jump is not presently reflected in the budget forecast, and that there needs to be a catch-up period over the next 2 years to make that happen before we start talking about percentage increase.
Dave Metz may have to pick up on, maybe we ought to get away from the percent and just talk about a dollar amount. I mean,
that's all we can talk about.
I understand
that.
That's
all we can do.
But we've been computing it by going percent. Maybe the discussion ought to be refocused and say, what should a dollar amount be? So it doesn't appear for future councils or the legislature that this is the road they're going to go down, is give us cost of living or a percent. But they go down the road, what is the appropriate salary and how much should that be? You get there the same way, you get to the same place, but you take off the table the percentage or the impression that someday this is the road we're going to go down. This council just looks at the salary. Is that appropriate?
Wait, Dave, I didn't understand this bill. I didn't understand your comments. I mean, do you think we should not look at what Social Security does, what the bargain contracts, which actually show a market level increase? Do you think we shouldn't look at those?
No, I think we have looked at it. That's part of our due diligence.
Right.
We have looked at it. It's part of our process. And that we're not ignoring that. In fact, that's huge in our thought of what it should be. I'm just suggesting maybe the best thing we can do for future councils is, yes, the 2% or however we got there was part of our thinking in the information we have, but the final analysis, our recommendation is a dollar amount.
I agree with that. We have to do that, I think.
Okay, hold on.
Madam Chair, I agree with Dave's point, and just a couple calculations if people are interested. If we did a dollar amount of $46,000, that's about a 2.2% increase. $46,500 is 3.3, and $47,000 is 4.4, roughly.
Go ahead.
Joseph Boyle, I think all that the difference, what David said that you agreed to, was that you're just saying we don't say that this was a factor, this is what we discussed, and then we throw a number up there. And that's what both of you are saying.
Yes.
And I don't have any real problem with that. I think it's important that we at least say we discussed it, because other people want to maybe discuss other stuff, because everything will be different for two people. And in 6 years, the whole group is going to change, but at least this is what we discussed, and then pick a number. And I have to think about what the number is, but I'm not disagreeing with either of you.
Let me rephrase it. I just want to make sure the motion isn't, in my mind, tied to a percent.
Right.
I just want the motion to be clean, a dollar amount, whether that's $46,000 or the $900 or what have you, that I think it makes a cleaner process for future councils to look at this.
Well, that's, as I pointed out at the beginning, that's what we have to do.
That's
we don't set at 5%. We have to set their salary.
I understand.
So the motion, no, so the motion would have to be a dollar amount. It would have to say.
Yeah, but the motion could have had other language in it. I'm just trying to make sure that when we eventually vote on a motion, that the only thing in there is the dollar amount and not how we got there, other than we did our homework.
Madam Chair,
Marcia?
This is Marcia Vandenberg. Is there any traction? I know there have been some bills introduced to reduce or eliminate the per diem in the House and Senate. Is there any?
If I read the information we were sent correctly, there is a bill in each House that has not moved much.
Okay.
I don't know.
I had not checked them recently,
yeah,
so I wasn't sure.
One of them had its first committee, was in its committee, and one had a committee hearing or a committee vote or
neither
something.
Neither one has been heard.
Neither one's been heard. Okay.
Okay.
So, and I don't know, they were not ones even introduced last year, were there? I kind of followed it, and I don't believe before this year that there were, so I do not know the reason for this, and if the Salary Council had anything to, you know, or report anything to do with it, but there are bills introduced and sitting for all intents and purposes right now.
This is Greg Fox.
Yes.
I'd be willing to make a motion that we set the salary at $46,000 for the coming biennium.
All right, there's a motion on the table.
I would second that.
Is it current or upcoming?
Pardon me?
Upcoming biennium?
Yes.
Upcoming.
Yeah, this goes into effect on July 1st for the next two budget years, fiscal years. So there's a motion on the table and seconded to set the salary going forward at $46,000. So let's have comments and questions on this motion.
Camwell was here.
This is Tom's.
Okay, wait a minute.
So that would be $46,000 for the 2019 session?
For the two budget years. We can only.
The 20 session?
Yes.
So basically it's $1,000 raise each year for 2 years.
It's a $1,000 raise, and the salary stays the same for the 2 years.
Yeah. A total of $2,000, $1,000 a year.
Yes, they'll get $2,000 more over the 2 years than they're getting now.
But the base would be $46,000 in both years.
Yes. Yeah. Ken's point was that they'll get a total of $2,000 more over the next 2 years.
Correct.
This is Bill. So their salary would be $46,000 beginning on July 1st, 2019. And
until we meet again.
It will remain $46,000 for the rest of the biennium. Is
correct.
That, is that what? Okay, good. That's I understand that.
Until the committee.
I'm, and I'm in favor of that. I support it.
Until we meet again.
Or change. Until the council takes for
This is Tom Stinson. That turns out to be about a 1% annual raise over the 2 year period, and that's not going to keep up with inflation. So that if everybody in the future followed this, in 10 years or 13 years, we'd again have a big gap between the buying power of the salary that the legislators were earning at that time and the buying power of the salary that legislators were earning in 2018.
That's true, Tom. This is Randy, but we're only setting it for 2 years, not for 10. So are you making the assumption this is what would happen over the next 10 years, Tom?
I think that this is too low to provide to hold real incomes constant. And I guess my goal for this would be to hold the buying power of legislative salaries constant, not have it deteriorate over time.
I'm thoroughly confused here. I thought that the 2% would have brought us to 45,900, And now we're at 46. Myself, St. Paul Math, I thought they'd be over 2%. Isn't that what you were saying?
But they're getting the same salary for 2 years.
I understand.
So he's saying, instead of, in order to recognize the 2.2% or the whatever, that would be for 1 year, but since you're spreading it over two, it effectively is only about a 1% increase.
Okay.
Because we're not changing it the second year.
So what would be a number that would be approximately 2% a year that would be the number that... that if you, under your analysis, what would the number be under your analysis? Not saying you're in favor of it, former Chair Stinson, but what's the number that you, under that criteria, wouldn't be parsimonious?
Ken Wilma's here.
Why would I ask? Could I ask him? From then you.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I'd like to know his answer. $46,800 is my accountant's number, give or take the change. You're a businessman. You're
I think that's within estimating purposes. I was trying to do this on a spreadsheet.
Yeah, he did it on his calculator, Mr. McElroy, and he had 46,818, but I don't think we should get the 18 in there.
Can we? Just for sake of discussion, make it 46 next year and then 47 the following. It has to be
We have to set a salary for the biennium.
Isn't that setting a salary?
For the biennium.
You didn't let me finish
for the biennium.
Sorry.
It's a legal requirement.
Okay, Ken, you were trying to speak.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. If you wanted to give them 2% a year, you take 45 times 1.02 is 45.9 for next year times 1.2 is 46. 818, I did the math, which I was
going to
inject there. But yeah.
Thank you. As a lawyer, I just say, can you answer the question? And then the accountant answers the question. So I never have to know the answers.
More comments and questions?
Hi, this is Chaz McElroy. As I said earlier, I'm on the fence as to whether there should be an increase. Listening to the testimony of the three people today, I think they cautioned us going too far too fast. I don't think the law in which we've been set up says anything about inflationary increases or keeping it up. I think that's a decision we made. I've impacted Gloria by what you say in terms of taking into account the budget and the forecast and the fact that the legislators, I think for political reasons, didn't even appropriate it in the budget. And I would be comfortable with no increase. I'd also be comfortable with a 2% increase, even though with inflation it's only 1% a year, and making the point in our report that we think there's still some things that should be done with per diem. We think this commission was set up so they could put this into the budget. In June, they should do that in the future, and this group didn't necessarily feel it was important to tie it to inflation and an inflationary increase. So something on the lower side would emphasize the points I want to make, that they've got to do some things in their house. Along with that, it would be commenting that the House and the Senate should have the same per diem. It's the same purpose that is trying to be accomplished.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
In some ways, this is Marcia Vandenberg. I agree with Chaz on some of his points. On the other hand, when I think about if we're trying to have younger people come into the legislature with more ideas and changes, I wonder if staying, and I don't know where I'm comfortable, well, I'll be real honest at this point, but I wonder if staying at the lower amount keeps those people currently in the legislature comfortable and unwilling to move out, especially those on the upper end who don't have to they've already figured out how they're going to live within this current amount, and so we're not going to have the diversity that we're looking for to change the legislature in some realm. And so that's, in my mind, that's what I keep going back and forth between is a little bit higher number perhaps going to help others run But because if we keep it lower, are people just so comfortable they're just going to stay and never leave? And we're not going to have enough influx of new ideas.
Dave Metzen, even though I second it, I might vote against my thing here. I misunderstood the numbers. 46,000 doesn't do it for me. I think it ought to be higher. I think Marcia's saying that. I think Tom's saying what that number is. I just want to be known that I think 46 is 200 because I was doing the wrong calculation. Now, should it be 46,500? I don't know, 47, but I just want to be known that even though I second it, that doesn't work for me any longer after listening to the discussion.
The original.
And this is Randy, and I do agree with Chaz, and but I think we have a motion on the floor with a second, so I think we have to either withdraw the motion or to vote on it to move on to whatever the group wants to do.
Yes, right now we're just discussing it and everyone's getting their comments in and the motion is on the floor. That's correct.
Procedural posture question. Who made the original motion, Mr. Donahue?
Greg.
Okay. No, I did.
Greg Fox.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know if Mr. Fox, based upon the information that affected the second, is also similarly affected.
I'm comfortable with the motion.
Okay, so yeah. Just that one. All right.
Like I said, the motion's on the table.
What's
go ahead.
The motion again?
The motion is to set the salary at 46,000. Very simple. Are there further comments? Then there's a motion and a second.
Hang on, Chief.
Okay.
Joel, put his hand up.
I'd just like to point out that, the last thing in the world we should do is just pick a low number just to be parsimonious. I always hate those words. Anyway, I think we have to be higher than that number, with all due respect, so that we don't end up with the problem we had 17 years from now, which I think was Mr. Stinson's point. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I just want to explain why I'm going to vote.
Yeah, this is Greg Fox. I appreciate what you're saying, but I didn't pick the number because I thought it was a low number. I picked the number because I thought it was an appropriate number.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Any more comments and questions? Don't want to leave anybody out.
Good morning. It's Patty. I've got a question. Is it our job to address the salary as it is today with the conditions today, as well as to look down the road and watch out for the future? Or should we just be focusing on conditions today, what we know today?
My understanding would be that because we're supposed to take into consideration the budget forecasts, you can interpret that the way you'd like, but we are supposed to and look at the budget forecast, which is why the presentation. So I would answer your question by saying that we are supposed to look not just today, but at looking forward.
This is Bill. Could we ask is the Attorney General's representative there today? I would be interested in knowing whether or not we have to set a biennial salary or whether we could actually come back next year and increase or decrease the salary again.
That was answered.
Does the Constitution or the statute require us to set a biennial salary?
Yes, it says the council must prescribe salaries by March 31st of each odd number year. You're not required to increase, but that would be the decision of the current council.
Yeah, we set a salary every 2 years for that 2 year period.
Right, so it doesn't really address the issue of can we come back next year and do it, but the implication is that we should do it this way.
We only meet in odd number of years, so I think that's pretty definitive.
Well, is that true? I mean, can we meet on our own motion?
I'm sorry. Repeat that.
Can we meet on our own motion? I mean,
she read the statute. It says we meet in odd numbered years.
This is Angie Behrens. It's the Constitution. It's must prescribe salaries by March 31st of each odd-numbered year. So I don't believe there's authority to prescribe a motion, prescribe a salary in an even-numbered year.
Okay. Thank you.
Other comments, questions?
I just want to put in a comment that for most of these individuals running for office, they have to raise more money than we're paying them in a salary to get this office. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So keep that in perspective, too.
Are we ready to take a roll call vote on the motion?
Chair Olson.
No.
No. Sorry.
Boyle. Joseph
no.
Boyle. Dan Burleson. Bill Donahue.
Yes.
Greg Fox.
Yes.
Patty Hannon.
Yes.
James Joy. Charles McElroy.
Yes.
David Metzen.
No.
Gloria Myrie.
No.
Sherry Pugh.
No.
Tom Stinson.
No.
Randy Twistle?
Yes.
Marcia Vandenberg?
No.
Ken Wilmus?
No.
Laura Whitty?
Yes.
Eight to six?
Six yes, eight no.
All right, the motion failed. The vote was 8-6. Where shall we go from here?
I'll make a motion. We raise it to 46,500.
I'll second that.
Who is the second, please?
This is Randy.
Thank you, Randy. So there's a motion on the floor now to raise it to 46,005. It's been seconded. Have questions and comments on this?
Madam Chair, logistics question. Are really rapidly, are really rapid Jimmy John's is not rapid today. We understand that they have a logistics problem there, and our staff are going there to pick up the sandwiches.
So
hanging in there. Okay. It's an update.
Well,
thank you very much, and please thank your staff for having to go out of their way for us.
Aren't we all awfully close to finishing up? Can't we just cancel the order? I'm just kidding.
No.
The order's been placed.
The salary is one thing. We still have other issues we might want to.
This is the only salary we get.
I know, but I'm just saying.
You wouldn't say that in St. Paul. You live in South St. Paul. You might
getting the number is one piece. I think people have some other comments, as indicated by some of the comments we've already heard today about other things that they may want in this report. So
okay.
I think you might be optimistic, Dave.
All right. Thank you.
All right. So we're discussing the motion on the table, which is to set the salary at $46,500, a motion made by Dave and seconded by Greg. So I'm opening the floor.
Madam Chair, an observation by staff. One strength of the report 2 years ago was the really strong support by the members. And just an observation that you're slicing it to get a majority, and it won't be a strong statement. And I don't know how you get to something that everyone feels comfortable with, but I'm just pointing that out as staff. It may be that now that the council did the yeoman's work 2 years ago, we won't have that kind of large consensus again. But I just raised that for your...
No, I think it's an excellent point. I mean, we've gotten general praise about the work of the council. And we heard it again today with the three former members who talked to us. And I think rightly so, because we did a lot of good work 2 years ago. We reviewed a lot of things. We had to, we are in a different place this time with all of our own knowledge that we've gained. But it's a good point that any report always is more favorably received, I suppose, if it seems like it's a more of a consensus.
And Madam Chair, one way around this is that there might be a narrow vote on what the dollar amount is, but a larger vote for the report itself that it reflects there.
This is Greg Fox. I'm not going to have a problem voting for this. I think I understand what Greg's saying, but I think we may find that we can coalesce around a number in this range.
Yeah.
This is Bill Donahue, and I agree with what Greg said. I'm going to vote for 46.5. I would vote for 46.8 as well. But I think that we'll get a lot of support for this. And you know, is this the final vote, or is this the vote that will go into the draft report, and then we will reconsider this either on the 22nd or the 29th?
Well,
what's our posture here?
Once we have a motion and vote on it and set it, it's not to say that we couldn't have a motion to take it away and redo it, but the intent, I believe, is to try to come to a salary agreement, come to some consensus on other things that we want included in the report so that the staff has some time to do it. It would be unusual in my experience, and it's mostly business rather than government, to go back and revisit once you have set something like this. That's just my comment.
This is Tom Stinson. Are there press in the room?
There are not.
I'm told there are not.
Well, but it really doesn't make any difference. Once we vote on it, it's going to be public. And so we have to be aware of that.
Excellent point.
Besides the practical point, I point out that when we vote, and then somebody can make a motion to reconsider, or somebody doesn't agree with the minutes, they can disagree with the minutes, but generally it stands. I think the Attorney General would agree with that. That's the law. And then and she's nodding her head, yes. I'd just like to know if somebody jumps me. I guess I would have preferred 46.8 because I understood why I'd say that number. If somebody jumps me and says, well, how does that compare to the percentage increase? So how does it, 46.5? It was a number we just threw out of a hat to get consensus. I mean, I may not even have a problem with that because I would rather get along, but I just thought 46.8 wasn't that bad a deal.
Dave, you came up with 46.5. Can you answer his question?
Well, he's asking, didn't he ask for a percent?
The
reason I got there is we had some people struggling with 46. Now, is the question, did I put something on there that I thought we could probably vote on and get more of a consensus versus a big split vote? And I'm sure a lot of people in this room do not want this move to 47. So to me, it was kind of hit in the middle, and it was kind of back to what I said before, make 1 year 46, the other one 47. And so to answer your question, it was trying to get a strong consensus that people are against the 46 may understand that this is maybe the best deal they'll get.
So the motion in the second floor was what amount again?
46.5 is the motion on the table.
Now, this is Tom Stinson. One of the things that I learned as state economist is that there are a lot of ways computing annual changes. You can take the monthly average, you can take December to December, you can take fourth quarter to fourth quarter. What the 46.5 turns out to be is pretty close to the December over December CPI growth rate. And so I'm comfortable with that, and I would be comfortable using that as an explanation as to how we got to 46.5, why it seems to be reasonable.
I would just point that out, that should maybe be the top bullet, but I also don't want to go backwards. We said we wouldn't use factors per se, but we'd say discussing points, and that should
that
be
we
the
use
top
the consumer price index
of all those other discussion points. But I think we should leave the ones in that some people didn't like MAPE and stuff, but put them a little lower. But they leave were discussed, so I mean, you can't take it back. But then we, and I guess I have no problem with, I guess, as long as there's a reasonable analysis for it, of all the things we've discussed, I have no problem with the reasonable projection made by the vice chair's dark approach.
Do I have any other comments? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm interested in knowing at 46.5, what is the percentage increase?
3.33.
And that's over 2 years. No, that's for 1 year, actually. So they'll get that 3.33 this year, and then they'll get it again next year.
No.
Well, the increase is 3.33. The salary is established for the 2 years.
Right. Right, I get it.
Any other questions and comments? Are people comfortable with voting on this motion? Sally?
Chair Olson?
No.
Joe Boyle?
Joe?
Well, you just threw a ringer in. You're voting no. I vote no.
Bill Donahue?
I vote yes.
Greg Fox?
Greg?
Thank you.
Yes.
Patty Hannon?
Yeah.
James Joy? Charles McElroy?
Yes.
Dave Metzen?
Yes.
Gloria Myrie?
No.
Sherry Pugh?
Yes.
Tom Stinson?
Yes.
Randy Twistle?
Yes.
Marcia Vandenberg?
Yes.
Ken Wilmus?
Yes.
Laura Whitty?
Yes.
11-3. The motion carries 11-3. So the new salary set will be $46,500. So there have been many comments through these conversations and about points that we would like in our report. I want to make sure that staff knows subject matters that we want included and if there are particular points so that they can draft a report for us. Again, I will point out the time constraints we're under being March 15th today, and we have to deliver this report in final form by the end of the month. So I will open up. Sherry, go ahead.
Well, I'd like to, it came up in our conversation about the disparities between the House and the Senate on the per diem rate. And so I'd like to propose that maybe we have language that talks about equity between the two on the per diem. Because no one can explain to us why it was different. I know a Senate has more geography, but the per diem really isn't related to that. So,
and I think Charles has made that point. I certainly agree with that point, that since it's supposedly to cover expenses while you're in St. Paul, it makes no difference whether you're a senator or a representative what your costs are.
Especially if it's costs for meals.
Yeah, but I mean, as a business person, as I pointed out in my question to the former legislators, you know, I mean, turning in expense reports or, you know, pointing out what you spend to me is not a burden, it's what the vast majority of the world does. Exactly. I mean, I didn't, as I had said to someone earlier, you know, I didn't necessarily make my employees bring me a McDonald's receipt if they went through the drive-through, but I did expect them to say that they spent, you know, $4.50, you know, for breakfast when they were on the road or something. And so, you know, this kind of goes to conversations we've had before about what really is per diem and what is expenses that are reimbursed. And like I said, I certainly agree with you, Sherry.
Madam Secretary, this is Randy. I need to drop off. I'm in an airport and I'm going to board here shortly.
Okay. Is there anything you want in particular to tell us before you jump? Okay. Thank you so much.
I'm fine. Thank you. Goodbye.
I just repeat myself, but, you know, we are the Legislative Salary Council. We've done our job. We've done the increase. I don't think that we are the legislature review on per diem group, and I think we really we're undermining the good work we do when we get into stuff. You know, there is three branches. We're only setting salary. That's what the Constitution gave us, and even the legislature, when they wrote the statute, gave us, and all of a sudden we're getting our nose in the stuff that isn't authorized, and I don't think it's right.
Well, the only response I would point out is that we can consider other compensation, and I believe our comments are along that, in my view, my comments on that are along that view, is that we can consider other things.
I think our report last year got some pretty good mileage out of it. It gave a platform for more discussion on this, and I think it'd be a mistake. I think if it isn't in there, people wonder how come it's not there. I think if we still believe in it, and I believe that it's not transparent, it's not fair, and I think this allows legislators and committees, and there has been more discussion on this only because we had it in our report. And the two times I've seen this discussed, they've gone back to our report saying this has to be addressed. So I think we'd respectfully disagree, Joe. I think it needs to be in our report, and this time again.
And I think, you know, we can only set one salary. For them. We can't set separate salaries. So all we're doing is, I think, just highlighting the issue. I mean, we've stated that we know we can't affect the per diem, but we certainly can advise that we think that that the disparity between the two rates is something they should consider looking at.
This is Bill?
Bill first and then Tom.
Okay, I think we did a nice job with this in 17, and I think we should continue to mention it because it is an element of compensation that's confusing, and I think the actual changes that take place in per diem, you know, can only come from the legislature, but we should highlight it for them that it's a confusing element of compensation, and I think that it was really good to bring in the legislators because gave me a greater appreciation for how important the per diem is to people who actually have to travel to St. Paul. But I don't think it's quite as important for people who are living in Minneapolis and St. Paul in the suburbs. That's it.
Yes.
This is Tom Stinson. I agree with Bill and Dave that we should have the language in it, in the report that we had last year, or similar language that we had last time about the per diem. We, in the economic forecast document, we've had a situation where the Council of Economic Advisors has made a recommendation that inflation should be included in the planning estimates, and they've made that recommendation for years, even though they have no authority over it or anything like that. And so I think we could have a language that says something like, in their last report, the council calls for further examination or something like that of the per diem issue, and then tax the language that we had in there on after that.
Charles?
Yeah, I've got 3 points on my mind to have mentioned in the report. One has to do with a little bit of the discussion we had on what percentage increase this is. The 46,500, I'd suggest to be portrayed in the report as a 1.65 annual increase. It's 3.3 over the 2 year period of time, but as we said, when we clear up the discussion, it really comes down to a 1.65 annual increase each year. And I think that's important from my point of view for the public to see we're not increasing at 3.3%. I'm concerned they'll misunderstand it. The second point I would like to see mentioned in the report is the salary commission was set up so that it ended on March 31st so that the House and Senate could include this in the budget for the next year, July 1st. And I think it should be mentioned that wasn't done last time, and we think it should be done. That's the purpose of the thing. And the third point has to do with the per diem. I think I agree with everybody that's commented already. We should include our comments on the per diem in the report. The parts that bother me is I think per diem is a misleading term. All expenses are reimbursable other than meals. The per diem is, in effect, meal reimbursement. Another point on the per diem, we don't understand, and the testimony we've heard isn't able to explain why it's different between the House and the Senate if that's what it covers. So I think those are the points I'd like to see in the report.
Hi, this is Greg Fox.
Can you wait a minute?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Greg.
I appreciate what Charles is saying, and he's helping me think through strictly his first point. But actually, I think the more accurate way to describe it is not a 1.65% each year. It's a 3.3% year one, 0% year two.
Joe?
I'd just like to say, for the record, I really think that that it's a disservice to the legislators that are getting per diem to say that this is a double payment on food expenses, because it's not. It's to pay the things, as the gentleman Johnson said, like he can't get his house plowed because he does it, and can't expect his wife to do it, nor shovel the house. And there's all these incidental expenses, especially in a rural area, that are incurred. And just house plowing is one of them. And I could go about 15 others, but the fact is that I think it's a disservice. There's a reason why 40 legislatures allow per diem in addition to these expenses. There's a reason why there is a federal law that allows more than 50 miles to be a deduction. And so, you know, I really don't think it's appropriate, and that's the reason I don't think that we are experts in this area, nor should we be. I think we did a good job in setting the salary, and I think it really is a disservice to, all of a sudden, we are no longer the salary commission. We're the people that decide how to criticize per diem by the Senate and the House, and that is not a function that was given us by the citizens of the state.
Madam Chair,
go ahead.
I think Joel corrected me when I said it's meals. It is meals and incidentals. All other expenses are reimbursable, but I think a better term would be meals and incidentals. Okay. Another point I forgot to make is, in our last report 2 years ago, when we talked about per diem, we talked about it being for meals and travel. It's my understanding that all travel is reimbursable.
There's a clarification. During session, you're limited to one trip back. You're limited to one trip per week. So if you go back for a meeting in your district other than that one trip,
so it can be travel. Okay.
Madam Chair, I'd make a motion that we ask staff to draft the language that is very, very similar to what we did last time relative to per diem. And that'll be, we've already talked about the salary is probably solid, but the next meeting we can look at the language the staff puts together. And I would encourage us to stay pretty consistent with what we put through last year and not get into the weeds too much on this.
And I pulled out the last report as we were having this conversation, and it's fairly lengthy, but it makes several points that we're making again today. Council members expressed concern about per diem payments being substantial, it being unclear why they're different from the House and Senate, how they average 5,100 to 7,900 and 7,600 to 12,001, so that there was a disparity from people taking them, and the disparate impact of the income tax treatment And it didn't mention, I don't think, the retirement, which is another thing. But anyhow, so certainly as that's one of the reasons I think we encourage people to review the report.
I'm searching for a second. I have to leave in about 10 minutes, and then I need a discussion. I will be out of town next week, out of the country, so I have to know whether we're meeting. Okay. If it's next week, I can't be here. The following week, I can. 2 weeks, I can be here.
Well, let's before you leave then, do people have a preference if we assume, because it looks like we're going to get enough done?
Can I just point out, the meeting next week was to be a tentative scheduled, and I could only get a room in this building from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. So the meeting on the 29th was back to your 9 to 12 or 10 to 2. So
okay, but do people have a preference as to meeting dates?
I'm in the same situation as Dave. I can't be here next week, but I can be here the following week.
Okay, other people on the phone, do you have a preference between the 22nd and the 29th?
This is Laura Whitty. Either one's fine.
Yeah, either one.
Okay,
yeah, no this is Tom Stinson. Either one's fine.
Okay.
This is Bill. I would prefer we just did it on the 29th. I mean, I'm okay. Not there.
That seems to be the consensus.
Joe Boyle,
I will be there on the 29th.
I'm probably going to vote differently than both you guys. The fact is, I think we should do it now. As long as we got enough done, there'll be enough to give us a draft. I'd like to have it before what would have been the next meeting, but let's...
Oh, absolutely. That's how our intent is.
But let's not have the next meeting a week from now and do it on the 29th when everybody can be here, as many as possible, looking at each other and getting it over with.
Right. And the reason for the tentative 22nd was in case we didn't get enough done today so that we could do exactly what you're saying before the 29th. So the consensus seems to be the 29th. Okay, so, and I don't believe we need a motion for Dave's thing. You just want the draft to include things like this.
But I am looking for a second to...
But I'm saying we don't need a motion for what we're including in the report is what the legal is saying.
Okay.
So we know that this is that's what we're doing, is trying to get everything so that they can get a draft report done for us.
But again, I think everything's going to be in the discussion phase, not... any specific thing.
No, that's why draft report.
Yeah.
That everyone will be strongly encouraged to go through very carefully because we will have very little time after the 29th. So the 29th meeting is to really put it together.
When the staff writes it, they're not supposed to say that this is the factor, although you said that this is a factor. I think that's one of the higher things as to what we discussed because it only should be on a number. And then various factors, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
This is Tom Stinson. Would it be useful if you had a drafting committee that looked at the manuscript or the report made up of some of the members prior to the 29th?
Well, former Mr. Chair, I will defer to you. How did you handle it 2 years ago?
There was a committee that people, Gloria was on it. I can't remember who all, but it was useful to have their comments, and then Greg and I incorporated them into the manuscript, and it improved it a lot, I think.
Point taken, then I will work with Greg to get a couple of members to review it in advance of circulating it to the whole group. Okay, so back to the main points now. What else besides what has been talked about do we want to make sure that as far as topics or things that are included in this draft report?
This is Gloria.
Sorry.
I think Greg's well aware of the points that I've made, but just as reasons why I did not vote for the
taking into consideration the budget forecast and the appropriation,
right.
Or lack of appropriation.
Right. This is Marcia. I think make sure that we include that we did have legislatures come again this time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That we heard from.
Right. That was part of our first report, was all the things we went through in making our decisions. Great point.
This is Tom Stinson. I think the report can be a lot shorter than the first report was, and then we can make reference to the first report as having some of the background in it that we didn't feel was necessary to repeat.
This is Gloria. I think the last time, didn't we append our materials that we, and likewise, I think it would be helpful to do that.
The things, the information that was distributed was in an appendix.
Right.
Thank you.
I'm happy to help with the drafting.
Well, I'd be happy to help with the drafting, but I'm not sure everybody wants me to.
Now, come on. We're a collegial group here.
I'd
be happy to agree with what
Joe
said.
Hey, from the cities, I can understand your position.
Okay. We seem to be getting a little away from this. Have we covered everything that, as far as topics and comments that needs to be, that we would like to see in this draft? Hearing no comments, I assume that everybody is comfortable with all the notes that we currently have. So moving forward, the staff will draft a report. I will review it with them and with the assistance of a couple of other members, as Tom suggested. We will get this report out to you before the 29th, and we have to strongly encourage everyone to read through it and come with your comments, because really the meeting on the 29th is to finish and come up with a final report so that we can meet our deadline, which is March 31st, and deliver it to the appropriate people.
Do you want us to come with comments or submit comments?
You can submit comments. It will be sent out. Remember, under open meeting laws, you should submit the comments back to staff, so that no email ends up being an informal meeting that no one intended. So, we strongly encourage everyone to look through it, submit comments, so anything that can be done ahead of the meeting can be. Or any points that we know we need more discussion of, you know, with people don't necessarily agree with. Because, like I said, the real intent of the meeting on the 29th is to come up with a comprehensive final report.
Well, whatever the comments are, they go to staff. They may not go to any of the other members, whereby it would be a majority, because that would be a violation.
Right. So you don't want to have a quorum on your email. So
you got to be real careful on how that gets.
And it's not even a minority. Less than a quorum doesn't count either, because then it becomes a serial meeting.
Right.
So just to staff, please.
So your comments should be directed at staff, who can incorporate them either in the report or. So we have a list of topics that we need to discuss at the next meeting. Obviously, I think a lot of it will be consensus.
Right.
You know, some, there'll be some basic boilerplate, and then there'll be things that we need to talk.
Anybody. Nobody's trying to get involved in a mistake.
No. Okay, so is there any other business that anyone can think of at this meeting? I'm looking for my agenda now. It's buried under all my paperwork.
I move to adjourn.
I have a motion to adjourn. Is somebody seconding it?
Second that.
We don't have. Do we have to take a roll call for the meeting to adjourn?
No.
I didn't think so. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.